Saturday night, and Catherine and I have gotten together, and we've decided to play a drinking game, but this is not the type of drinking game you're thinking of. This is dry Secco, alcohol-free Prosecco. Cheers. And we have written down some questions that we are going to pull out of a hat and quiz each other and see how much you remember from what we've talked about and just have fun. Yeah, so let's go.
And by the way, to be clear, I'm no angel. It's Saturday night and this would normally be wine.
So oh yeah, we're going to have a drink after this because everything in moderation. But, you know, rather than having too many, this is a nice way to start.
Actually, this doesn't taste bad.
This is Groovy Dry Secco, alcohol-free. And it has 50 calories for the whole thing, and it poured two glasses.
Yeah, it's nice.
So it's kind of nice. So if you're trying to not drink or do dry January or just, you know, pay attention to the amount that you're consuming, yeah, it's a nice way to do it.
It's not bad.
All right, let's get started.
So I'll pick. How many calories in a gram of alcohol?
Oh, interesting. That's funny that that's the question. Do you know?
No.
So alcohol has 7 calories per gram, whereas carbs and protein, so carbs typically being think of like rice or a potato or bread, have 4 calories per gram. Protein, so think of a piece of chicken or a piece of steak, has also has 4 calories per gram. Fat has 9 calories per gram, and alcohol has 7.
Oh.
Yeah, so it is more caloric gram for gram.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So if you think, I mean, usually when you think about how much alcohol you're drinking, you think in terms of fluid ounces, not grams.
Yeah, that's why I'm wondering, like, why are you even talking about grams as it relates to alcohol or anything? You're saying that's the way to do it.
Yeah, so that's the way you'd have to convert it. So if you think about you're drinking 1 ounce of alcohol, there's 28 ounces in a gram, so you're going to go 28 times 7. So that seems like a lot of calories for... Oh, that's because it's not pure alcohol. So alcohol is not 100% distilled, meaning it's not pure alcohol. It's mixed usually with some water or something else like that. But anyhow, that's the calculation. Okay. So there you have it.
Okay.
Okay, let's do the next one.
All right. Next one is... What is a heart attack? So if you're catching up on any of our old episodes, it's actually really interesting and important. Listen, I didn't know the difference between a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. So let's review.
Do you remember?
Well, I remember that one is very difficult to come back from.
Correct.
And I think that's the cardiac arrest.
You're right. Yeah.
And the heart attack, you can't, you're still with it.
Yeah, you're right.
Right?
So a heart attack is basically when your heart doesn't get oxygen, and so a portion of it dies. So it's also known as a myocardial, and that's the muscle of your heart, infarction, death. So if you have a lack of blood flow to the heart, let's say you have a clot blocking it or cholesterol plaque, and it doesn't get oxygen, you can have a heart attack. And someone would have a heart attack, it's painful, part of your heart's dying, so people will say like, they have chest pain, get me to a doctor. Whereas a cardiac arrest is when your heart stops beating and the person will collapse and be unconscious, and they need
the defibrillator.
Correct.
And we've talked about buying these at-home defibrillators and keeping them handy.
Correct.
And you say they're foolproof.
Well, foolproof meaning that they're automatic and easy to use. So when you put the paddles on the person's heart, if they're not truly in a cardiac arrest, let's say they just fainted, it won't go off. So it will tell you, this is a shockable rhythm, and it will then go off, and it will shock the heart. And if they are in a rhythm that can be brought back, they could be revived potentially. I mean, that's what you hope.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a big difference, heart attack versus cardiac arrest.
Now, a heart attack can lead to a cardiac arrest, because if you have a heart attack and your heart's deprived of oxygen for long enough, and enough of it dies, it could throw off the rhythm of the heart, and it could go into a fibrillation where it's not beating properly, and then you could have a cardiac arrest. So a big reason for a cardiac arrest is a heart attack.
Okay, got it. Would you like to pick?
Sure. Oh, it's another medical one. What is BMI? Do you know what that stands for?
Body mass index.
You got it. And do you know what, how to calculate your body mass index?
No. I think you have to go and get a machine to do it.
Nope. So it's a... calculation. So you take your weight in kilograms divided by your height in meters squared.
Okay.
So that you need to get a I mean, I don't know. Well, I know my weight in kilograms. I don't know what my height in meters squared is. But your ideal body mass index is somewhere between 18 and a half and 25. So generally speaking, you want to fall within that range. Now, there's always exceptions for someone that might have a ton of muscle. They might have a higher BMI. But usually that's a good place to be.
That's pretty low, though, for, I think, for the average North American person, 25 on the high side, don't you think?
Yeah, but that's really where you should be. Above 25, you'd be considered overweight, and above 30, you'd be considered obese, and above 40, you'd be considered morbidly obese. And it's not that hard to get there. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Next. Fun conversation here. Okay. Why invest now? Why don't you answer? Because you have a really interesting history, I think, with investing, and you really took a participatory role in your investments.
So why invest now? So a saying that I've remembered and has stuck with me is that time in the market is more important than timing the market, meaning that the sooner you start and the longer you just hold in the market, you'll reap the benefits of compound interest. Mm-hmm. So why invest now is because the earlier you want to have time on your side, you want to start earlier so you can really take advantage of that compounding.
And let me just add to that, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes people are so afraid that they're going to make a mistake with their first investment. And I was kind of, someone who's young, and I was advising, you know, I gave her some money after she graduated just last year to invest. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking about it, and it's always great to talk about it. But the reality is, you know, and I don't want to push or anything, but the market's been up 30% since we've been talking. So just think about it. You know, if you invested $10,000, you're up $3,000 without doing anything but deciding to buy the market. And I think that's just so powerful. Now, you could have also been down $3,000, but then, you know, the markets historically have continued to go higher. So just sitting there sometimes doing nothing isn't the best thing.
So I read that on average, if you look at the stock market historically, on average it returns 7% per year. So that's taking into account some years that did amazing, like this past year, and some years that didn't so good. But on average, you can expect a 7% return. And 7% doesn't seem like that much. But like you said, it's a lot for doing nothing. And the longer, so let's say you put in $100, okay? And the market, you make $7. So that means next year, without doing anything, that $100 turns into $107. And then that gets reinvested.
Right, and you're making 7% on the
107. And then time, it adds up and adds up.
It adds up.
And that's why Warren Buffett accumulated the majority of his wealth after the age of 60. Because when the numbers get higher, the compounding gets really serious. Mm-hmm. When you start compounding on $1 billion, it's a lot. Anyhow, right. So okay. These are some of the things I've learned from Catherine and other people that I've spoken to.
Yeah, okay. One more? One more, okay. Here. I wrote all these in my bad handwriting. I should have been the doctor. I always actually wanted to be.
Did you?
I did, yeah.
Really?
I always
did. So what stopped
did.
You from going to medicine?
You know, I think I did go to school in the States for middle school, and I think that if I'd stayed there, I probably would have pursued that. But when we got back to Canada, one of my neighbors is a very well-known investor here in Canada, and he opened my eyes to what investing is when I was only, you know, maybe 16, 15 years old. And I just thought, my decision to go to Wall Street was, he said to me, it's a meritocracy. Like, I knew I wouldn't be the type of personality to climb the corporate ladder, but if you can put me somewhere and I can work harder than anybody else,
is that what you mean by that?
Yeah. A meritocracy, yeah.
Means what? How hard you work pays off?
Yeah, yeah. And so Wall Street is the prime example.
It's so funny, too, because I went into medicine. It's so funny how you're influenced by the people that you're around.
Always, yeah.
And I remember deciding what to go into at university, and I went to McGill, and I was deciding between going into sciences to do potentially medicine or management, because I was always interested in business, and I was always very entrepreneurial, and I had that spirit, you know? But I didn't know anybody really in business. My dad was a dentist, my uncle was a doctor, my other cousin was a doctor. I had lots of doctors in my family.
Yeah.
So I was like, guess I'm gonna be a doctor.
Good idea.
I'm a doctor.
Yeah. Mind you, I thought of this today. when we were going to film, how we met each other is mm-hmm. because one of Melissa's cousins is actually in finance on Wall Street.
Was
at one of the big banks, and then also one of the largest hedge funds and most successful hedge funds in the world, which happened to be one of my clients. So I covered meanings mean he was my client. You get on the trading desk every day, you call him about the various research calls that our firm, our big bulge bracket firm that I was at, you know, was making at the time. And then they pay you based on how good that information is. They trade through you in huge amounts of shares.
Huh.
So that's how I met your cousin, and that's how I met you.
And when you needed a doctor, he introduced you
to
me.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we would play these drinking games with fake alcohol and cowboy hats.
Well, that's where it's evolved to, isn't that the truth? Okay, if you can read my writing.
Okay, what is the second leading cause of cancer death worldwide?
I have no idea.
Okay, so the leading cause of cancer death worldwide.
Oh, smoking.
Lung cancer.
Okay.
You got it. And the second leading cause of cancer worldwide would be gastrointestinal.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Did not know
colorectal
that.
Cancer.
Interesting.
Yeah. And interesting that, you know, smoking and, you know, is why, obviously, you know, lung cancer is the leading cause of cancer worldwide, mm-hmm. and air pollution, obviously. There's this big thing going around TikTok and Instagram where some influencers talking about how people in Japan eat so healthy and they eat fish and they're lean and they don't have their food polluted and so therefore they don't get lung cancer. I don't know what they're talking about. Japan has lots. Oh, and they're saying even though they smoke, they don't get lung cancer.
Oh.
But actually, that's not true at all. Japan does have high rates of lung cancer, so... Hmm. Don't believe everything you see on a TikTok,
on TikTok
or on social media. Yeah.
Which, by the way, speaking of TikTok,
tomorrow,
the ban?
Yeah, starts tomorrow, I think. It goes silent tomorrow.
Does
and
it?
Unless the deal is worked out. I think tomorrow's January 19th.
Okay.
So that's crazy because a lot of people make their living on
TikTok.
I know.
So the Supreme Court in the United States just the other day upheld that ban. But I thought that they were going to allow it to continue to be live, to allow people to shift their businesses. And then, of course, the inauguration is on Monday, and then we'll see what
happens.
President Trump does.
Well, the whole thing is they think that it's a way that the Chinese, who some people think that we're sort of at war with, essentially, are spying on us. And
right.
So we're allowing them to, you know, whereas they don't use Instagram and Facebook in China, and here we are on TikTok all the
using
time.
Using their stuff.
Yeah. Happens to be like a great app.
Does it? I'm not.
Yeah, it is great. No, it really is. It's fully addictive.
But there could be something
and very user friendly.
Yeah.
There will be. There hasn't been so far. But you know what? It's great for Meta if TikTok gets banned. That might bump the stock up because mm-hmm. then more people will be using Instagram.
Right.
You know, going on Instagram as opposed to going on TikTok.
Yeah.
Like I tend to scroll if I'm like doom scrolling whatever. I'm like scrolling. I'll tend to do Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of younger people would do TikTok.
TikTok, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the importance of the Bank of Canada or the U.S. Federal Reserve, the central bankers? Why do we care about them? Why are we talking so much about them?
I know you've been talking about this. I should know. Because they set interest rates?
Correct.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
And interest rates, what they set it at, is going to affect the markets.
Borrowing costs, the markets, the risk tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I would say as well, and we've talked about this on previous podcasts, that, you know, in the past, like when I started, you know, in equity research in the United States back in like 1997, and back in those days, we didn't care what every second word was out of any Fed president, let alone the Federal Reserve, because the markets and the economy just kind of ran on their own, and they weren't as much influenced and heavily influenced by the hand of the Federal Reserve. Since the financial crisis, they came in, they lowered rates to try to make the borrowing easier, more money supply, and we've essentially been, what everybody's saying, addicted to the U.S. Federal Reserve and central banks around the world, lowering rates to make borrowing easier, money more plentiful, and so that's, you know, I think it's a problem. Everybody, you know, the amount of debt that's been accumulated around the world. Many people are saying that the next crisis would in fact be a sovereign debt crisis. Hasn't happened yet, obviously. That's where it's all. Well, what I mean is that all these countries since the financial crisis have just increased the amount of debt that they issue for so people to buy.
It increased debt, meaning they just keep printing more money.
Printing more money and in order to continue to support the economy. Mm-hmm. And at some point you think, well, how do we pay this off? And when does it get paid and who pays for it? You know, as an example, here in Canada, let's just talk about the Canadian dollar for a second. Canadian dollar is under 70 cents. Yeah. You know, obviously we have a lot of issues with the lack of national leadership right now, no leader really, and the policies from the past 9 years have pushed the Canadian dollar down. But what kind of also, you know, brought it below 70 cents was everything that's, you know, going on right now, leadership-wise. But also, you know, when you have uncertainty, there's not a lot of people who are going to be out there buying your dollar.
So uncertainty about who our leadership is. Do you think our dollar could go even lower if these tariffs come in and we lose the U.S. as our biggest trading partner?
Well, I mean, it's...
What's the lowest our dollar's ever been?
You know, I don't know.
Are we 60 cents? I don't
know. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and look.
What's the best it's been?
Well, it was above par 10 years ago.
It was?
It absolutely was. Mm. Yeah, so absolutely we can have a stronger dollar. I think what's also really important to think about, Melissa, is that with the tariffs coming in, and it's been apparently reported that the Canadian government is ready to retaliate. Okay. If in fact we get tariffs put on the first day. And you have to imagine, what does a tariff mean? It means we're going to be paying more with an even weaker dollar, which means we could see inflation mm-hmm. rather than deflation, which we've been experiencing, right, from these very high levels. If we get inflation, think about it. What does that mean for the Bank of Canada? The Bank of Canada might actually have to even raise rates. That's not the expectation. But if you have inflation, you raise rates to combat that inflation.
This is all very confusing stuff.
Okay.
Which we will continue to break down yes. and understand. But for the average person, what that means is we don't want more inflation because that means everything gets more expensive.
Right.
And our dollar doesn't go as far. Mm-hmm. And it means you're sitting at a restaurant opening up a menu and going, what?
Yeah.
How much is dinner? I'm not dining out anymore.
Yeah.
And then you go and you go and book a trip and you're like, what? Mm-hmm. How expensive is it to travel? And you don't go anymore.
Right.
And as a result of that, then the economy suffers.
Yeah.
And then those stocks that rely on us and those companies that rely on us to spend our money don't do well. Mm-hmm. And that's why we don't want it.
Bankruptcies. And it really lowers your standard of living. And I always say mm-hmm. and believe, more recently, I never used to have to think like this, but we should have a very high standard of living in an incredible country like we do. Mm-hmm. And the opposite has been happening. All right, one more.
Okay.
Okay. And here we go.
I'm feeling tipsy from non-alcoholic.
It does kind of.
But you can kind of get a bit of a, you know, placebo. Placebo effect is 30%.
No.
Placebo effect is 30%. Like, if Catherine told me that this was real Prosecco and I was drinking it, maybe I would find it. I should have told you.
I wish you'd told me it was real.
Damn.
Yeah. Okay. That would have been really good.
It's actually not bad.
It works.
It's not bad and it does
work. It works.
That's an interesting thing. So,
is it really
non-alcoholic? Yeah, so non-alcoholic sales, drink sales are going up. And I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing more bars pop up that are like tea bars, things that are, you know, you get together and have drinks that aren't necessarily like more mocktails and more.
I would love that.
Yeah, where it's acceptable. Because right now when you go to a restaurant or bar and you order like a tea, they're like, you know, but if that's the point of it and it was sort of accepted, I think more people would socialize around that.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I think it'd be great. Mm-hmm. And spice, maybe with a dance floor.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun? We still need a dance floor somewhere. Mm-hmm. Okay, what is the best type of account to start with? What kind of investment account should you start with and open up? And I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, but what do you think? Or what's your view?
So based on what we've been talking about on our podcast, right now would be a TFSA, so a tax-free savings account.
I tend to agree. And the reason is because you put your money in, and the government allows you to put X number of thousands of dollars a year. And if you haven't done that at all, you can top it up. So whatever you've been, you know, missing out on for the past number of years.
So what you mean is like, let's say they say this year you can put in 7,000, but you can't afford to put 7,000 this year. You can only save 5,000. But next year you have a great year.
Yeah.
You can put in the additional
That's right.
two that you didn't do
That's
this
right.
year.
Okay. Yeah. And what's so great is that your gains, whether they're interest income or dividends or just growth of the stock, you buy a stock at 10, it goes to 20, all of those gains, if you sell them and it's not in a tax-free savings account, you're taxed. Mm-hmm. If you really think about it, you're taxed on your income to even be able to invest, and then you're taxed on the investments. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of taxing going on here. So with having a TFSA, it earns the returns tax-free, and you can take it out tax-free. So you're not even, getting taxed when you take it out. So I just think it's so great as a way to think about, if I have something big I want to buy, like a house or a second property, try to make your money in there, and you can take it out tax-free and then
and
purchase
put back in the difference.
And,
yeah.
And put
and you can start a tax-free savings account at
18.
18. Okay.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to start an account before the age of 18, that would be called a trust fund.
Oh. Okay.
So get a parent.
Get a parent. Well, there's other accounts though that parents can set up for their kids, like the, educational accounts.
RESP.
RESPs. Yeah. The one reason why I'm not a huge fan of RSPs, retirement savings account, is because the whole idea is you put this money in, yes, it grows tax-free, like the tax-free savings account, and the whole idea, though, is that when you're 70 or 80 or whatever, your income tax is lower because you're not making money. But my whole point is why I don't like to operate with thinking I'm going to be poorer in the future and therefore a lower tax rate.
So the first account I started was a RSP because TFSAs didn't exist when I started saving. And so that's the first investment account I had. And my understanding was that better to take, right now I'm in a higher income tax bracket because I make a higher income, but when I'm older, I won't be in that same income bracket. Now, if you have a lot of wealth from investments, I'm not sure it really matters because you'll probably still be at a high income
That's
tax
my point.
Bracket. So for very wealthy people, I don't know if it necessarily makes,
But I think we should all be inspirational and aspirational to think that we're gonna be at a high tax rate forever. That's how you wanna think.
So I also think that it's a bit of a tax savings too. So when you contribute to your RSP, you do if you're an employee.
That's true.
Then you make that savings as a deduction.
Yes.
So
that's true.
I can give you an example. For me, I use a TFSA as an investment account. I have my RSP, and then I have my corporation that I can invest as well. But everybody has different, based on what you have set up, but I think a good place to start right now, TFSA and RSP. And
RSP too. Yeah. No, that's very fair. That's fair. All right. So
should we actually go and have a drink now?
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
No, we might sort of put on the hat. Let's see what you look like with the hat on.
I like
on.
My hat, especially since my, I have to show you this.
Okay.
I bought this off of Instagram. You know how you see all these things on Instagram that you can buy, and then sometimes I wonder, is it really going to show up? Mm-hmm. And this took a long time. So this is this thing, you may have seen this, to do your roots with.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Watch.
Oh, it's amazing.
Is it amazing?
Yes, it's amazing.
I don't think it's that great.
It's great.
Is
you're
it?
You're, because I have to, do me.
You don't need it. Oh, yeah.
It's good.
Because your hair's lighter than mine, so it looks better on you.
No, it gives
it
you
works.
A little.
Gives you a little bit. So it's called Waver.
Waver Low.
I think Bethany Frankel's done it. You'll see it on Instagram. Anyway, it finally came. But that's also why I thought I'd bring my hat out tonight.
Yeah.
Because I think, here's the problem, Melissa.
It looks so good.
Thank you. One more thing. Hair, not the same as hormones change. Mm-hmm. Do you know why? Do we know why? Because that's why I'm eating so much protein now.
So with age and hormones changing and just collagen changing and skin changing, I mean, we don't have the same youthful ability to grow hair that we'd like on our head.
Okay.
It just shifts to
where
other
does it
places.
Shift? Okay.
But yeah, but there's some hacks. We can talk, we can do a big hair discussion.
Yeah, let's do
also.
That.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say a hat discussion. I'm like, can do that too?
Yeah.
You know what? I love the saying, hold on to your hat in life. And that's why I personally have so many hats. Mm-hmm. I'm like, just hold on.
Hold on to your hat.
Hold on to your hat.
That's a cute one. I really like
it. Thank you. All right, we're off.
Bye.